Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com. or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors and they support us. Thanks, and Nihei Debiru. Hey everybody and welcome back to Chop Talk. If you listen to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, don't forget to like the show on Facebook. This week's guest is my good friend, Sensei Amanda Kaufman. Amanda is a 3rd-degree black belt in Shoryu Karate and Okinawan Kabuto. She's the owner and head instructor of Advancing Karate in Perrysburg, Ohio. Amanda began her training in the martial arts at 5 years old. She now trains under O-Sensei Robert Bowles, 10th-degree black belt, and head of the International Shoryu Association. Sensei Kaufman is a lifetime member of the International Shoryu Association since 2007. In 2008, she was awarded the Sensei of Merit Award, and in 2009, the Superior Leadership Award. And in 2009, she also received the National Dojo Instructor's License through the International Kokusai Shurite Yudan Shikai. Sensei Kaufman is a regular attendee at all the major ISA events, which is where I caught up with her in April. Since 2001, Sensei Kaufman has taught karate and is the current head instructor at the Fort Meigs YMCA Center for Health Promotion in Perrysburg, Ohio. She hosts an annual Summer Shuriru Standards and Weapons Seminar, and this year it will be held on August 8th in Perrysburg, Ohio. The seminar features O-Sensei Robert Bowles as the guest instructor. Today's show is the first half of my interview with Amanda, where we compare notes on the recent ISA seminar in Fort Wayne, and then she talks about how she started in the martial arts and her mission to find a new sensei after her original instructor switched styles. She then gives me a few tips on teaching the kids. To find out more about Sensei Amanda Kaufman, her upcoming seminar, and Advancing Karate Limited in Perrysburg, Ohio, visit www.advancingkarate.com. Call 419-509-4277 or email advancingkarate@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Today's guest is my friend Amanda Kaufman from Perrysburg, Ohio, the head of Advancing Karate Limited. How are you doing, Amanda?
I'm good, Nate. Thanks for having me on.
Great, great. Hey, you know, we just saw each other not too long ago. I guess, what, in April at the big ISA seminar in Fort Wayne?
Yes, that's right, at O-Sensei Seminar. That was a great weekend of training with lots of amazing instructors.
Yeah, it was. They put on a really big seminar. You know, that was the first time that I had been to it where everything was held at the, was it the Hilton in downtown Fort Wayne?
Yep, that's right, the Hilton Garden Inn. I remember when they had part of the seminar at the Masonic, and then the rest of it at the Garden in previous years too.
Yeah, exactly. They were doing a piece here, a piece there, and I then missed a couple of years. But I think it was a great event. You know, they had like you said, a lot of good instructors. Let's see, I worked out with Mr. Bethea from Kokomo, Indiana. Got to work out with Troy Price, O-Sensei Bowles, of course. It was a really good event.
Yes. Yeah, I enjoyed it too. I especially like how they go back and they cover some of the weapons classes that they do from the fall Kabuto seminar too. So that's nice to recap and review those classes with them also.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that was really helpful to me because I went to that seminar in the fall and the Bokata, you have to refresh my memory. Which one did they work? Was it
Tokumini no Kun?
That's right. Tokumini. Yeah. Who's you know, Tokumini's claim to fame was he got in a drunken brawl with 30 Naha policemen and was banished to an island. So that's so you know, if he can take on that many cops with the bow, you know he's doing pretty good.
Yes, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. and then at the banquet, you and I wound up sitting at the same table, and I got to chat with you a little bit and get to know you a little bit better.
Right.
We've seen each other at the seminars, but hadn't really had a chance to talk much. Why don't you start off? What could you give us some of your background in the martial arts? You started pretty young, right?
I did. Yeah, I started when I was 5 years old, and my mom ended up enrolling me in a martial arts class. So I was very petite and really quiet. I also had, health issues that made like regular physical education classes kind of challenging. So she thought that would be helpful to start martial arts, and there happened to be an Okinawan Shoryu Karate dojo right across from the school that I attended.
Oh, wow.
So I was kind of fortunate that we fell into this style of karate. But my first instructor was Joe Hertzellers, and he's a student of O-Sensei Bowles,
Okay.
and it was in Toledo, Ohio.
I don't know that I've met him. Is he still coming around to the seminars?
He's not. He actually transitioned into Kung Fu. He found that that was his passion. So after I had received my black belt under him, and then he found out that was where he wanted to go, which it turned out to be great. He's really flourishing in that now. So I wanted to keep, training and practicing because it turned out that I fell in love with Shoryu.
Sure.
And but continuing it on my own was, sort of had its own limitations. So what I did was I looked for seminars and competitions to take part in, just so I would keep, training and learning and growing. So
Sure.
I ended up going to Florida and South Carolina to different shuriru and other events to
Okay.
keep active.
Well, that's great. All of a sudden you sort of found yourself on your own, but you're running around the country chasing down this information.
Yeah.
I'm also kind of surprised. A lot of the people that start when they're as young as you were, 5 years old, there's not that many of them that keep going. They get distracted by, whatever it is, whether it's soccer or baseball, or they get into junior high or they go into high school, and all of a sudden you're chasing the boys instead of practicing your kicks. So, I mean,
Right.
what was it that kind of kept you so focused?
Well, I think that it became more than, just an extracurricular activity. I was sort of, living at the dojo, training there 3 to 5 days a week, and not only did it, make me more confident as a smaller, more petite person, but
Right.
it started, improving my health, and I had really bad asthma, so I was able to, breathe better, and my muscles got stronger. And it was just a ton of fun. They made the classes ones that you'd really look forward to and not want to miss, coming to a class.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's important. I mean, were there many other people that stuck with it like you did? I mean, are there a whole group of black belts out there that came up for that from that crew, or are you kind of the last one standing?
There was a small group of us that made it all the way through black, and out of those, there was I started with 3 girls in our group, and I was the last girl that made it through. But they all found some passions in other areas like dance and other sports. But definitely an accomplishment trying to, keep in there with the guys, and 'cause it was very much male dominated, back
Sure.
then. And there's a lot more girls, young girls especially, in it now, which is cool for the young girls and their own self-defense skills.
That's very true. And at our dojo here in Cincinnati, that's one thing that we were sort of lacking when we took over the dojo was there were no high-ranking female black belts or instructors for the people that joined to look up to. Okay, it's great. Okay, they can work out with us old guys with lots of facial hair, but it's not bad to have someone that's who's the same gender as you that's up there that you can say, oh, well, she can do it and I can do it too. So,
Yes.
that's one of the things. Anytime we've had an opportunity to have someone visit, I really try to encourage the girls in the schools, hey, make sure you come to this extra class and look, this person's doing it. And, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have to necessarily do everything like the guys, because there is a difference, I think, between the way that the women and men sometimes run kata or spar or run a class.
Right. I agree. And I think that it's important to, you know, be able to adjust and accommodate for your own, not only males and females, but even, you know, if you're older and you have an injury, to be able to work around it. But, you know, being able to adapt.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, not everybody's going to be able to jump in and do, you know, full contact kickboxing. Right. You know, even after a certain age or you have an injury, I remember going through times where I've had, you know, hip surgeries. Or if you have a guy who's 50 or 60 years old, he can't do everything that he could or that the guys who are in their 20s can do. Some things you might be able to do better, but it's not necessarily going to be the same.
Right.
Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATEC, Okinawa's specialist in sports therapy and wellness care. ATEC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber for increased metabolism and faster recovery from injuries. Or take their stretching course to improve flexibility. ATEC is used by professional athletes from the Ryukyu Golden Kings, FC Ryukyu, and Ryukyu Corazon. Stop into their center Monday through Saturday at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.sanso-atac.com. That's www.sanso-atac.com. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Remember, if you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know, and we'd be happy to announce it on the program. And now, back to the show. You know, so when you were out there trying to, you know, chase down more information, who was it that you wound up finding?
Well, I went to the International Martial Arts Symposium's annual seminar in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. That was hosted by Hanshi Abel, who was one of our, you know, late chief instructors.
Sure.
And that's where I ended up, I think I met probably two of, you know, the most pivotal and influential people about 10 years ago. And one of them was O-Sensei Bowles, and now he's my sensei, which I'm very fortunate to train under him. But,
sure.
He was sitting at a small table signing his books for people, and I finally got to the front of the line, and I approached him and shared my dilemma that I didn't have a sensei currently, and there was probably hardly a pause, and he, you know, pounded both fists on the table and said, "Then I'll be your teacher." And I never expected, you know, such a response to come so openly and readily welcome me as his student without any hesitation. So that was, I guess, a whole decade ago. So I've been commuting and training with him in Defiance and Indiana ever since.
Well, that's great. And, you know, you're not too far away. So, I mean, you're near Toledo, correct, in sort of northwest Ohio. So it's a few-hour drive to hit the dojo in Fort Wayne, but that's not unreasonable. You know, you don't have to hop on a flight or anything like that.
Yeah, it's very close. It takes probably about an hour and a half or 2 hours. So that's a nice drive to be able to reach him and train.
Oh, that's even closer than I thought. Oh, man. I'm kind of jealous. Yeah, you know, I had sort of a similar experience with him where I had met him at a few seminars, but, you know, he has no idea who I am. You know, I'm just some, you know, young black belt running around. But I was on a road trip one time. I went on this little karate road trip, hopped in my car and said, mm-hmm. well, let's see how many dojos I can go to. And I wound up going to visit, this is the part I edit out when I'm grasping for people's names, by the way.
Okay.
Also, if you say anything too offensive or racist, I can trim that out also. The goal is to make everybody look good.
Good to know.
Iha. I went up to Sensei Iha's dojo in Lansing, Michigan, and mm-hmm. he had a seminar going on up there. He came out of the same dojo in Okinawa that I was training at, Miyahira's dojo. He was sort of the highest ranking and oldest guy from that dojo, and I think I became like the last guy to get a black belt before Miyahira died in that dojo.
Oh, wow.
And
that's great.
And he invited me, and he was really nice. He said, "Oh, Nate, okay, when you're in America, you know, come. We have the seminar." I'm like, "Okay." So I was I moved back, was in the U.S., and I went and worked out with those guys, and that was great. Then passed through Indianapolis, worked out with Johnny Russell through Chicago, my friend Kevin mm-hmm. Scoyne, who came up together, a couple other spots here and there. Kind of on a whim, like, well, let's see what's going on in Fort Wayne. So, you know, I called Sensei Bowles. He said, "Yeah, sure, come on over." And so I stopped by, worked out during the daytime class, and then he took me out to lunch at the Mexican restaurant next door, told me a bunch of stories about him and Grandmaster Trias and how he got started. Mm-hmm. Then worked out in the night class, and I think I was on to the next destination. I think next was down to Cincinnati. So a very sort of welcoming guy, a nice guy, especially if you can get him one-on-one. He's got a lot of good stories and a lot of experience to share.
Yes, yeah, he's always open to sharing, and you learn so much when you go to his black belt classes, or like you said, if you just sit down and you know, have a meal with him.
So did you wind up driving back immediately and start hitting the dojo after he invited you, or did it?
I came right back and contacted him, and, you know, we actually met up in Defiance. He has his Defiance dojo, mm-hmm. so it's kind of the halfway mark between Fort Wayne and Perrysburg and Toledo, mm-hmm. and, yep, started right away.
Oh, that's great. And you've been with him ever since. And now, doesn't he come over and do something for you also?
He does, yeah. We have a summer Shuri seminar that we put on. And the guest is Osensei Bowles each year. We try and focus on half of it karate, and then the other half of it kobudo. So he always features a certain weapon each time he comes for the seminar.
Very cool. What's going? When is it this year?
It's going to be on August 8th, a Saturday. And our weapon of choice this year is the tonfa.
Oh, very cool. That's coming up. That's just in about a month.
It is, yeah. We're really excited, and I think we're having, you know, more people come from out of state even to join us at the seminar too, which we're really looking forward to.
Oh yeah, well, I'm in the kind of the far reaches of the state, but I might need to make a trip up there for this thing.
Oh, you should. That would be fun. I think seminars and, you know, events like that are so important, just because of the, you know, variety of people you can meet and train with, and you know, peers on our level have so much information to share just by partnering up with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you never know who you're going to meet and wind up having a really good contact with. You know, that's, you know, you start talking to people at seminars and you realize, oh, hey, this person's not that far away. Or, oh, I'm going to be in that corner of the country next month, so I might as well stop by for a workout.
Yes.
Because it's really important to find the other people who are, you know, as passionate as you are about this, and keep working out with them.
Right. They can, they really help you challenge yourself, I think, and try something new is always important, both as, you know, cue belts, but especially as black belts, to keep honing your skills and receiving feedback from one another.
Mawari no hito ni sa wo sukete mimasen ka? あなたの体は休息を必要としていませんか？スポーツマッサージ健康のスペシャリスト、メディカルリゾート ATAC を一度トライしてみてください。ATAC ではお客様の体に合わせたマッサージを行います。また、ATAC の酸素室にもトライしてみてください。代謝向上、怪我の早期回復に効きます。柔軟性を高める、ストレッチングコースにもトライしてみてください。ATAC はプロチーム、琉球ゴールデンキングス、FC 琉球、そして琉球コラザンの選手も利用しています。ぜひ一度ご来店ください。オープン、月曜日から土曜日まで、沖縄県那覇市、おろく 1-28-30。電話番号 098-859-1890。ホームページもチェックしてみてください。www.sanso-atac.com www.sanso-atac.com 英語、ポルトガル語、スペイン語、日本語が話せるスタッフがいます。Absolutely. So you're running the school there in Perrysburg. Is it what sort of the demographics? Are you having mostly kids, mostly adults? Are you doing ultimate cage fighting? You know, what is it that that you guys are doing up there?
We have mostly youth. I just recently started a group called Kinder Karate, and we reached 3 and 4 year olds in that class.
Oh wow!
Which is, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. They are full of energy, and I'm actually, you know, teaching them basically the same things that I teach our, you know, 5 and 6 year olds, and they're really picking it up fast and able to say the Japanese words and counting with me. So they're doing a good job. But we also have 5 to 7 year olds, 8 to 12 year olds, and a small group of teens and a small group of adults as our main body of students.
That's great. You know, one of the things that I'm surprised with teaching the kids is how quickly they can pick up the words. I kind of a couple weeks ago we had a kid start who was I believe 5, maybe he just turned 6. And he came to one class. He had a little introductory course, and then he came to the first class and followed along with everything okay. And then he came back for the second class, and we were doing our calisthenics at the beginning of class, and it gets to be his turn to count. And I go, okay, well, all right, you can just count in English. It's okay. And he goes, ich, ni, san, chi. And I'm like, oh, never mind. And you go to the adult.
They catch on.
Yeah, exactly. And then I went to the adult who was in there next, and he's like, 1? What's after that? 4? 12? I don't know.
Yeah. I've noticed that too. The kids will just pick up the counting really quickly for the Japanese. And I took a little bit of, you know, a tiny bit of Japanese and Shoto Japanese writing in college. And I was talking to my instructor about that. And she's a native from Japan. Wow. And she was sharing with me that she thinks that the kids are picking it up so quickly because the characters and syllables are, you know, it's much shorter and smaller in the Japanese language than in English, and so they catch on quicker. But
that's great.
Really do. It's kind of amazing.
That's great. So okay, so I have to ask you: do you have any tips for the kids? Because I'm struggling sometimes, and I want them just to, okay, I need you to stand here, and I need to get your punch out, and they don't do it, and I know that I can't strangle them because the parents are watching. If the parents would just leave, I could choke them, and it'd be okay. But I can't. So what are your tips? So if you do have those little kids in the class, to keep them focused, to keep them motivated, to keep them from wandering around, sticking their fingers in their own nose and the next person's nose? You know, what is it that you know, you're finding that's successful?
Well, I think it goes back to when I was training and, you know, small, and I think I was, you know, having a lot of fun with it, and I try to incorporate that into my kids' classes so that while we're, you know, maybe playing a game or, you know, doing an activity that they're just having fun in, they might not realize the skills that they're building at the very same time. So I try to incorporate either, you know, the footwork, timing, agility within whatever we're working on, and engage them, you know, while they're learning something, and you hit two birds with one stone that way.
That's great. So you sneak it in. They're learning and they don't even know they're learning.
Right. Sneak attack.
That's diabolical. Oh, man. How long do you find that the kids are able to keep the attention? You know, are your classes, are you doing the 15-minute, you know, 30-minute, you know, or are the kids able to stick in there for a full hour?
Well, for the tiniest kids, the 3 and 4 year olds, I find that a half an hour is the most we can successfully, you know, keep their attention, learn something, and have a successful class. And then as they get to 5 to 7 and 8 to 12, I usually do 45 minutes to an hour classes.
Okay, that's good. So they get a pretty good workout, but you kind of get them out of there before they start getting too distracted.
Yes. Yep. As they get higher in rank and older and more committed, we definitely have the hour, and then the adult classes, we usually go an hour and a half or 2 hours on those.
Yeah, because the adults, of course, and even the teens are able to focus more. They want a little bit harder workout. You're going to be able to go in depth with the you know, with the material, where the 5-year-old might not be able to run a, you know, a full out, you know, third level Kanku show with a full Bunkai.
Right, exactly. And, you know, as they join as an adult, I found they're, you know, they chose this for themselves as an outlet, you know, besides going to work. They like to come and work out in their karate in the evening. They're very eager, and, you know, even the beginners, they just want to stay past their time and, you know, keep training with the intermediate and advanced adults. So that time frame allows them, you know, to fulfill some, let out some aggression if they need to from work, or,
right,
you know, get their workout in.
That's all for this week's show. Thanks to my good friend, Sensei Amanda Kaufman, for taking the time to visit with me. Tune in next week as Amanda shares some stories about meeting the real Mr. Miyagi, sparring a sumo wrestler, and she shares some notes on one of her favorite books by Gichin Funakoshi. That's all for this week. Nihiribiru and Mataya. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.